Turn, if you would, your Bibles to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, please, and look with me, please, at chapter 4, verse 1. This is 1 Timothy, the first letter Paul wrote to Timothy, and we've moved through it pretty extensively. But I wanted you to see something in chapter 4, verse 1. Paul says, "Now the Spirit," capital S, the Holy Spirit, explicitly, that means that there's no intrigue, there's no mystery, there's no illustration. He speaks clearly, precisely, exactly, and immediately to this condition. The Spirit of God expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith. Note that. They are acquainted with the faith. They've had experiences of the faith being the body of material that is committed to us, in our case, through the Scriptures, in Paul's case, by direct revelation from Jesus, and in the case of John and Peter and others, those who gave in Scripture what Jesus gave them to be the truth. That's what it's talking about. So it's really talking about the faith. The faith that is the embodiment, the foundation of our relationship with God and our recognition of truth. Some will depart from that foundation, that core value, that core set of truths, the faith. They will do so because they've been paying attention to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. Now, that we're supposed to believe that that means exactly what it says, that the source of this new faith to which these former faithful ones is moving is demonic, it's satanic, it's spiritual. See that? The Spirit of God has revealed clearly and precisely and significantly through Paul, the Spirit, through Paul, that this would become the condition of things in the latter times. Those are the times that have to do with the events that are still future, ahead of Paul, ahead of Timothy, out there in the future. These are future events that God has spoken about through the prophets, so we know, and they will take place in the future, and we are witnessing these things right now. We are witnessing people turning away from faith and truth because they're paying attention to spirits who are deceiving. You shouldn't trust them. They're making things look like what things aren't. They're not bound by truth. They are full of deceit. They are wicked. They are cunning. And they are multiples, paying attention to deceitful spirits, S, spirits. And these spirits are active in terms of promoting teachings of demons, teaching of demons, and themselves, these demonic teachers, or those that are propagating these teachings which originate from demons, are hypocritical, and they're liars, and their consciences aren't functioning properly. You see that? That's a very sticky wicket there. Now turn over, if you want to hold your finger there, turn over to 2 Timothy, and look with me, please, at chapter 2 and verse 26. Here Paul is talking about the evidence that in the short time that's passed from his first epistle to Timothy to when he wrote this last Epistle to Timothy, Paul is excited, agitated about the success that those demon spirits are having. And look what he says, verse 26 in chapter 2. Then they may come to their senses and escape the devil's trap, having been captured by him to do his will. The devil's trap. Behind these evil spirits who are teaching demonic things is a mastermind. He's called the devil, Satan, and he is out to entrap people, meaning to catch them in a situation and then hold them as prisoners. That's what a trap does. A trap always has bait to draw the animal close, and then when the animal attempts to steal the bait, the trap closes, and the animal is caught. And normally that leads to execution of the animal. Here, the trap is the devil's. In other words, there's a strategy. There's a rationale behind all of this. There's a mastermind behind all of this. And Paul tells Timothy that these folks who apostatize from the truth, who move away from the truth, these people are servants of Satan, and they become entrapped by Satan. They are then captured by him to do his will. I want you to do something this next week. I want you to keep in the front of your mind, right up here, when you're listening to the radio, when you're reading newspaper, when you're watching TV, when you're doing your internet thing, I want you to keep right up here. I want you to keep in mind this question. Who's behind what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing? How does this idea, this notion, this product, this whatever that's being delivered, how is that product related to truth? Is this indeed a snare of Satan put out in front of people to draw people into an entrapment? And if they follow it, do they then become captured by Satan to do his will? In other words, is the ultimate end of this apostasy Paul's talking about, where people who know the faith, who've been part of the faith, people have had experiences in the faith and the truth, move away from that, are drawn away from that by demonic, deceitful doctrines and teachings, and they're led into a baited situation where there's a trap. Here's my point, one statement. How many people, how many institutions, how many programs are cleverly designed traps? Serious traps. And what is the condition of the people who don't recognize that and who are taken into, through the bait, they're taken into the bait, they're made captives. They become captives to Satan, and they are captured to do his will. And so if you take the bait, you're going to become captive to Satan's will. And your whole mind is going to be changed. See what he says there? That they may come to their senses and escape. See that? Now, that word senses means that one of the preconditions to being caught in Satan's trap, and one of the conditions in which a person who is captive to Satan, who has capitulated to Satan and being controlled by Satan, one of those conditions is they lose their senses. What they once knew to be black and white now becomes all white to them. What once was issues of conscience, no longer issues of conscience to them. They no longer see a distinction between I'll say, between Jesus and Satan, they no longer recognize the distinction of those two opposing positions, and they are captive. They're prisoners. Now, that sounds pretty serious to me. And let me show you how serious it is and how it affects society. Chapter 3, verse 1, but know this. Chapter 3, verse 1 of 2 Timothy. Now know this, Timothy. Here's something you can know in this condition where you're dealing with people who had some experience of truth, some experience of the faith. They were enticed by demonic deceptions. They were brought into a trap, and now they are held prisoner by Satan, and they are doing Satan's will and have no sensitivity about what they're doing. They really think they're doing right. Now, know this, Timothy. Difficult times will come in the last days, same period of time talked about in 1 Timothy, end times. For, that word for should be translated because. I'm making a connection here. Hang on. Know this, Timothy. Times are going to become exceedingly difficult. Circumstances are going to become extremely complicated. There are going to be very, very stressful experiences are going to come in the last days because people will be, and then there are 18 adjectives. I'm not even going to read them. It's like reading your newspaper. What are these conditions signifying? They're signifying that these people have been captured by Satan. They are doing Satan's will, but to them it seems that what they're doing is natural. It's good. In other words, they have no conscience against these things. Well, let's roll your eyes down through there. People be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love for that which is good, traitors, verse 4. Reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to the form of religion. What? Yeah. In chapter 5, holding to the form of religion, but denying its power. Now, these people who are going to make difficult times come are sincere. But they are deeply deluded and deceived. Why? Because they have been sucked into Satan's deception and they are held as captives by him. And this is what flows out of following Satan. Now notice again, verse 5, 2 Timothy 3. They are lovers of pleasure, that is what titillates them, gets their attention, rather than lovers of God, holding to the form of religion. These people are religious. They fill our churches. They fill our pulpits. They teach in our seminaries. They recognize they hold to a form of religion, but denying its power. That means they refuse to yield to the truth that is revealed in the gospel, in the faith. They refuse to yield to that truth. They keep the form. They're still pastors and deacons and good people, that is, upright people, they pay their taxes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They have a form of religion, but they deny its power. Satan has brought them to a condition where they deny the one thing that could change their condition. What I'm saying to you is that these 14 or so different conditions are how the captives of Satan see their world. It's the only way you can possibly reconcile. The only way you can possibly reconcile abortion. Now, please, if you've had that experience or you have friends that have that experience, I'm not meaning to be mean. But what I'm saying to you is we need to understand that when a pregnant woman makes a decision about the life of the person living in their womb, they are totally indifferent to the individuality of that person. They're totally indifferent to murder. Name any of the social problems that plague our nation today and are sucking the life out of our republic. Name any of those. And you're going to find that those who are leading the parade in those conditions and those abnormalities themselves are zealous. The leader of the Planned Parenthood is resigning. You know about that? Have you seen any of the background of her escapades and what that institution does? You know, I mean, it is abominable. How can you do that and sleep at night? She didn't have a problem sleeping at night. Why? Because her conscience has been totally numbed from the truth, and her conduct is totally driven by her own pleasure. Who's the author of that? Satan. And she's actually controlled by satanic forces, spirits of darkness. They're real, they're ancient, they're wise. They are powerful, they are cunning, they are deceptive, and they entrap people. And when people are entrapped through those things, they become captive to Satan. And the only way they can live in that condition, and not go crazy, is to deny the power of the truth. Folks, social programs can't solve that problem. That is a spiritual problem. Quoting the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, doesn't work because what they would have others do unto them is weighted against them. That is to say, there is nothing within them that conforms to and nothing within them that gives them a reason to even question their conduct and conclusions. And you can write platitudes, you can pass legislation, you can write new laws. It is so pitiful to watch the gun control issue. Guns don't kill people. They don't. I would suspect that most everyone in this room has some form of protection, some form, some instrument that gives you some reasonable, sane evidence that you're not helpless. That's normal. The Constitution recognized the need for that. And in fact, our Constitution recognized that the greatest person you need to fear in that regard is not your neighbor, it's the legislator. Now, how did we get in this upside down world? And what I'm saying to you is that legislation, new senators, new judges, to take the whole pattern of what's in our news today. And there's no answers in it. Because there's no power in it. And there's no power in it because the people have been demonized, they have been deceived, they have been denuded, they have been captured. And while they want to retain the outward semblances of social dignity and all of that, behind the scenes, they are wicked, selfish, mean-spirited, and determined to have their way and do what they want and insist that you applaud them. That's where we are. That's demonic. That's absolutely, those are people who have lost their senses. Their senses have been dulled. And what I'm saying to you this morning is, you don't fix that with more laws. That is a spiritual problem, and that spiritual problem has to do with the spirit, the essence within the individual, and the source of that spirit. And when the source of your spirit, the one who's controlling your spirit, guiding your spirit, numbing your spirit, manipulating you through your spirit, is none other than the great arch-spirit himself, the devil, or one of his emissaries, Congress can't pass a law to change that. And I want to tell you, can't build enough prisons. You cannot create enough hospitals. You cannot build them fast enough to deal with bringing, being sarcastic, bringing the love of God to these people who are obsessed with drugs. You can't build enough prisons. All this came rushing back this last 2 weeks ago when I was invited to participate in the memorial service for Ed Jackson. And it was incredibly moving to think back and watching him go through that period of his time. He was a Marine, you know, Semper Fi. And I'll say he's a Marine's Marine, no question about it, just incredible. And then he became a state patrolman. And I don't know if you all know this guy down here, worked with Ed one time, right? And could tell us, in fact, he's told me stories that you wouldn't believe about what goes on in prison and what's behind the scenes and all of that. And thank you for telling me, but please tell me no more. I want to sleep tonight about where they have to go and what they have to do. And Ed was a part of that, and he was on the secret inside guys with the camera doing what would you call an investigative thing for the state patrol. With the camera when they blew the wall in the prison down in Columbus. Remember that? There was all that. And he was the second guy through that hole before the smoke had cleared with his camera catching pictures, et cetera. So he was in the heart of the heart. He was on Ohio State campus when they had the riots. Ed was a cop's cop. He was an officer's officer. Man of great integrity, a man of great personal skill. But I remember as he faced the onslaught of this new wave of antagonistic hatred for control, and he said, as I've been praying, Pastor, he said, I don't think we need more cops. We need to introduce people to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to resign, forfeit my benefits. He didn't say it that way. He was not cavalier about that. He sweat agony over that, what to do about his family. But the pressure he felt in facing the onslaught of the satanic control in the systems of rebellion that are unleashed today led him to conclude what people really need is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, That is the only solution. He wasn't downing the Marines. He wasn't downing the cops. He was not bitter, but he saw clearly that the only answer to this dilemma, the only sane way to this dilemma, was to go back to the simple gospel of Jesus Christ and to spend your life and effort trying to have people who are blinded by Satan, deceived by demons, under the control of His Majesty the devil, to break that bondage so that they no longer loved themselves, period. They no longer loved money. They were no longer boastful, proud. Break all of those demonic chains and have God deliver them into reality, into truth, into what's really true. Right? Well, that's what Ed did. And you know, so I thought about that. I became convinced that that same thing is true for the church. The power of the church is the power of truth. The truth is in the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's a very personal thing. And the only release from this condition has to do with coming to the knowledge of truth. And that's what Paul says in the verses that follow. Look at chapter 3, verse 6. For from among them, these people, this corrupt behavior takes place. Verse 7, they're always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. These also resist the truth. These are men, and by that means men and women. It's a generic term. These are people who are corrupt in mind, worthless in regard to the faith. What are those verses about? Paul is saying, Timothy, there's only one solution to man's condition. Only one solution to man's condition. And that is that he have a renewed mind, that he understand and accept and embrace the truth, and embrace the truth in his own life, that he is not God. And that man's goal is not to perpetuate himself, be boastful, all of those kind of things, but man's one goal in life is to come to know God, and through knowing God, be born into the kingdom of God, become a child of God, and in that condition, be empowered by the Spirit of God to live the truth and to live that truth out. That's what Paul is telling Timothy. Timothy, you got to fight fire with fire. And the fire that's destroying our society and has always destroyed our world is the fire of demonic deception and satanic control. That's what it is. And when you mix that with a steep, steep loss of your own sensibilities, when you are no longer empowered, you are no longer sensitive to, you're no longer alert to what is really true, and the goal of your life is, I want what I want when I want it, thank you. Well, not even thank you, I'll take it. When that becomes the goal of your life, it becomes the theme of segments within society, that society cannot endure. It will self-destruct. Powerful passage. It's been a great challenge to me to get down and get dirty with these passages in 1 and 2 Timothy. And we're going to continue to pursue these smaller books like Jude. We're going to continue to find this same intensity, this same raw conflict between those who once heard the truth, grew up in the church, blah, 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 went to a school where you could pray, where the Word of God was read, where you stood, all of those things that were part of my history and most of your histories, they're no longer real, folks. It's no longer out there. And where Satan has, through deceiving practices, brought a whole host of people into a trap and captured them. And he's been able to make them dull in their senses so that they're satisfied with an outward profession of goodness. They have a form of religion. Satan is one of the most religious beings in the universe. You know that. That's the condition of our world. And Paul knew it 2,000 years ago. And he pegged it. The question is, are we aware of what he's saying? Or have we become so familiar with these verses that we read them and say, yeah, we've memorized that. Oh, yeah, I can quote that. Yeah, I know that. Paul's writing to Timothy from death row. Remember that. Things aren't going well for Paul. He would say to Timothy, he'd say, Timothy, all those that are in Asia have forsaken me. Chapter 4, verse 11. Well, just look at it. Chapter 4, listen, Paul says, make every effort to come to me soon. For Demas has deserted me because he loved this present world. He's gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus has gone. Only Luke is with me. Only Luke. Paul's alone. He's not alone physically. He is alone spiritually. He desperately yearns to have someone like Timothy come and be his companion, his friend, and his encourager. So Paul's writing out of a sense of personal despair. He sees this wave coming that we're now swimming in. And he doesn't want us to get swept away in it. He doesn't want Timothy to get swept away in it. And he knows he's not going to be around. So what does Paul do? What does Paul do? What does Paul say? What do I say to my son? What do I say to my granddaughter? What are there available to them that I should be urging them like Paul urged Timothy? Tomorrow night we'll talk about that. And they're pretty simple, but they're very powerful, very potent. So we don't fight fire with dry grass. And if we don't recognize that the problem is there's a fire raging, and that fire is real and it's dynamic, and it turns people into non-persons. It turns them into, what's the word for those people who are dead and walk around?
Zombies.
Yeah, that's it. There you go. I should have thought about that before. These people become zombies. They are out of their own minds. They are deceived. They are, as Paul says, they're in this trance state. And their choices just bury them deeper and deeper and deeper in deception. Jesus said he's going to make his disciples fishers of men, and the ultimate fisher is
Satan.
Think about that. He has nets too, doesn't he? He has his traps too, doesn't he? He has his gospel, his good news too, doesn't he? Folks, we talk in small circles about these things, and we're concerned. Paul tells us why we should be concerned by giving us an assessment of the true condition. And the true condition is, if we're going to deal with fire, we've got to have fire to fight back. We cannot do this through just social action, political action, or complaining, griping, fussing. We've got to recognize what is coming at us. And Paul told Timothy, and I really feel that I can feel what Paul was feeling when he sat there in that Roman prison over there in Rome and said, hey, Tim, I'm all alone here. Everybody's bailed out. And Tim, There is only one solution to this problem. And it begins by diagnosing it correctly. Our Heavenly Father, when we look at our condition in our world through the lens of Scripture, it helps us recognize what we're up against. Satan himself, demonic forces, delusions, deceitful practices, people appealing to people on the basis of their own pride, their own personal agendas, repeating to them in one form or another the sermon of Satan that, hey, God knows that in the day you eat of this forbidden fruit, you'll be like God, Eve. You will determine what's good and what's evil. You will be your own boss. You will create your own world. You will create freedom from the restraints of morality, spirituality. You will be king. Till we recognize exactly what we are facing, we will not be willing to use the only resource available to combat this. And we will be expecting people who are out of their minds, who are zombies, to act naturally, rationally, logically. It ain't gonna happen, Father. It isn't gonna happen that way. So take us back to the wonderful message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Give us a bold fearlessness. May we be able to say with Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for in it is the power of God unto salvation, because it reveals the righteousness of God available to man on the basis of faith. Wow. Oh, that sounds so good. And we repeat it with great confidence. May we now repeat it more often. May we say those things in our lifestyles, in our choices. May we engage the enemy with the full armor of God. May we engage the error. May we invade the demonic possessed with the message of deliverance and salvation and transformation and eternal life and all the things that are in the gospel. Help us not to sleep through. Help us not to be intoxicated, self-centered. Give us, Father, a boldness, a gentleness, a clear graciousness, a kind and generous spirit, being gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those who oppose themselves, trusting that God perhaps will invade the circumstances and lead that person to repentance, because only God can do that. So open our eyes, Lord, to the true condition of the world in which we live and to the true and powerful solution to those needs out there and the needs in here that only you can meet. Lord, this week may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you and be powerfully evident in our prayers, in our witness, in our choices. Thank you for this wonderful passage of Scripture. In Jesus' name we embrace it. Amen.